order to get back to our discussion of mitzvos after a break for Pesach and the Omer and the like, the next mitzvah in the order that we've been going in is the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. Now, many of you in this class are women who don't put on tefillin, but I do want to explain how even a mitzvah which is not practically done, as I always say, the lessons of the mitzvah apply to all. And plus, if women understand the importance of tefillin, hopefully they'll help facilitate those men in their lives putting on their tefillin. So that's always the goal. So the mitzvah of tefillin, we'll go through again a brief description of the details, and then we'll talk about the meaning. Tefillin actually is two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to put on the tefillin on the arm and on the head. And you could have one without the other. So if somebody, for instance, for some reason, cannot access one tefillin, let's say they can't find arm tefillin, all they can find is a head tefillin, they can put that on by itself. They stand alone, these two mitzvahs. So one is certainly allowed to put on one without the other. Someone, God forbid, who doesn't have arms, you have to have a head. But someone who has no arms will just put on the head tefillin, with assistance, I guess. But the mitzvahs do stand alone, so you could put on one without the other. Both the hand and the head tefillin contain within them four different paragraphs of the Torah. These are the four paragraphs that actually mention the mitzvah of tefillin within them. And these paragraphs are very significant in that these are very fundamental paragraphs of Torah thought and philosophy. Two of them being the first two paragraphs of the Shema. As we've discussed the Shema in previous weeks, we know that Shema and Vahaya, the first and second paragraph of Shema, those two contain within them the fundamentals of Judaism, and those are in the tefillin. In addition, you have two other paragraphs in tefillin. You have the paragraph, grab it quickly. You have the paragraph of Vahaya Kivi'acha, that when it begins, when God will bring you to the land of Israel. And it discusses in that paragraph, number one, does discuss the land of Israel, which itself is considered a fundamental of Jewish understanding. It discusses the exodus from Egypt. It discusses, you know, Pharaoh hardening his heart, not freeing the Jews, the plague of the firstborn, etc. And there's another parsha, another paragraph in this tefillin referred to as Kadeshui, that you should sanctify for me all the firstborns, which also relates God saving us from Egypt, bringing us to the land of Israel. And it relates in a little more detail the story of the Exodus. So these four paragraphs contain within them really fundamentals of Judaism, and they go in the tefillin. Now, there is an interesting dispute, which some might be aware of. There are two opinions as to the order of these paragraphs in the tefillin. One opinion is Rashi's opinion, and one opinion is actually Rashi's grandson, Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. The typical pair of tefillin goes according to Rashi's opinion, and Rashi's opinion is that you write the paragraphs in the tefillin in the order in which they're printed in the Torah, which means you do Kadesh, then you do Kadesh, Vahaya, Shema, and then Vahaya. That's those four paragraphs. But that's the order. It's based on the order of the written in the tefillin, in the Torah. Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that you're supposed to do the paragraph of Kadesh first. I mean, that's the paragraph that appears first in the Torah. You're supposed to put the two paragraphs that begin with the word Vahaya in the middle, and then conclude the tefillin with Shema. That's his opinion. So the details are not that significant right now, but it's just important for us to know if you've heard of Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, or you've ever seen Jews who put on two pairs of tefillin, that's because they're trying to fulfill the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. The typical Jewish male will just put on the Rashi pair of tefillin, and that's the mainstream halacha. Yeah.
I did see they did it afterwards.
So yes. So it's common that it's either done after davening, they'll put on different pairs of tefillin. There is actually a Sephardi custom to wear them both together. So you don't see it that often around these parts, but you know, certain Sephardi Jews will actually put on two pairs of tefillin simultaneously, which you don't see as commonly. But it's more typical amongst Sephardic or Hasidic Jews to put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. You know, typical Ashkenazic Jews did not put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, but it's just worthwhile understanding why someone's putting on two pairs of tefillin. Like, sometimes you look at it and say, what's he doing over there? So that's the explanation. It's a matter of what the order of the paragraphs inside the box should be. That's the difference in the tefillin. The arm tefillin, all the paragraphs are written on one large parchment and rolled up. In the head tefillin, it's written on four separate parchments, which therefore means that in the arm tefillin, there's only one compartment. See, one long parchment, all four paragraphs written on that parchment, and then it's rolled up into, you know, rolled up like a scroll, and it's put into one big compartment. The head tefillin is comprised of four separate narrow compartments, and each paragraph is on its own separate parchment. That's the head tefillin. We'll talk about why that is maybe later on, the symbolism of that. But that's the difference between the arm and the head tefillin. The boxes have to be made out of leather. The has to be black. You need leather straps to bind them together. Those are all halachas. They have to be square. If your tefillin is not square, it's not kosher. It has to be square tefillin. You can't make circular tefillin, rectangular tefillin. It should be square tefillin. The head tefillin has the letter shin embossed into the leather. What's the right word, embossed? I don't know, whatever the word should be. But it has to be, it's at the shin in the leather. The hand tefillin is blank. There's nothing carved into the boxes of the hand tefillin. The knot, this is actually very interesting, the knot of the head tefillin in the back is supposed to resemble the letter Dalet. So you have the shin that is engraved or embossed, whatever it is, on the head tefillin. You have the knot representing the letter Dalet. And the knot of the arm tefillin actually represents the letter Yud. So the letter Shin Dalet Yud, which spells God's name Shaddai, which is God's name you find on the mezuzah. It's found in the tefillin, but if you combine those three parts, the box and the two knots, the arm tefillin, the Yud on the arm tefillin. And that spells the name of God, Shin Dalet Yud. So that name, you're actually wearing God's name in that effect, because you have it in all three parts of the tefillin. The obligation is upon men to wear tefillin. It's considered a time-bound mitzvah, in that we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos or holidays. So there's an opinion not to wear it at night as well. We actually don't wear it at night for other reasons, but certainly we don't wear it on Shabbos and holidays, so that's considered a time-bound mitzvah. What many don't realize, tefillin was initially intended to be worn all day long. Jewish men wear tefillin the entire day, from morning till night. In Israel, there are some people who still do this, yeah. Not common, but it is. If you walk around the old city, you might see people like that. There are people who wear it all day long. And initially, all Jewish men wore their tefillin all day long. That's how it was. Because as history went on, and we lost our ability to stay focused and maintain the level of sanctity needed to wear tefillin all day long, so we kind of reduced wearing of tefillin to wearing it in the morning for Shacharis. And then that's the common custom these days. Again, you do find those Jews who will wear it all day long. There are certain schools in Israel that encourage it. There are some great people, great gedolim, great rabbinic authorities who do wear it all day long. But typically, it's just worn in the morning for Shacharis and then taken off after Shacharis. That's typically what happens. The reason for that is that we'll talk about tefillin require a special level of devotion and focus when you're wearing them. You're wearing God's name. You're wearing a holy object on your body. You have to make sure your body stays clean, your mind stays clean, and you're aware that they're on your head constantly. So being that it's very difficult to maintain that level of focus the entire day through, we try to at least maintain it for the 45 minutes you're wearing them in the morning. Tefillin are not worn at night. They're not worn on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's only during a regular weekday. There is a major dispute if you should wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not. So you go to certain shuls, some do, some don't, In Israel, the universal custom is to not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. That's based on the custom of the Vilna Gaon, that's the custom in Israel. But once you leave Israel, there's different customs, yes.
I understand not saying Tachanun on Yom Tov, Shabbos, but why not tefillin?
That's a good question. It's a very different reason. And Tachanun is a prayer of, distress.
Right.
The reason for tefillin is that tefillin is referred to as a sign from God. And so if Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered signs from God. And we say you don't need the extra sign of tefillin because the whole day itself is that sign. So basically, you're sitting inside your tefillin the entire day through by experiencing Shabbos. You don't need to be putting on a pair of tefillin. That's the understanding. So let's understand that. So that's, I guess, tefillin 101 in terms of the basic halachas of tefillin. You do take the strap, you wrap it around seven times around your arm, then you bind it to your head with the strap. Now, those are the basic halachas of tefillin. So I want to understand more, what's the meaning of tefillin? It is a strange-looking item. If you're wearing tefillin around non-Jews, if you're on an airplane, you have to put your tefillin on or something. You find it very strange. Everyone's looking at you, what are you wearing? You're strapping bombs onto yourself, taking your blood pressure, what are you doing exactly? It's a strange thing. So let's understand, what is the symbolism of tefillin? What's supposed to mean to us? So the simple meaning, first and foremost, is of what the verse itself says. The verse in the Torah actually says that you should put on tefillin, it should be a sign upon your arm. It should be a remembrance between your eyes. So that the Torah of Hashem shall be in your mouth. So it's supposed to bring us, the Torah should be in our mouths. Meaning what Torah? So simply it means that the Torah which is written in your tefillin, those ideas that are in the tefillin, those four paragraphs, being that they contain so much of the fundamentals of Judaism, they should be constantly on your mind. So it's a remembrance on your head. It's something which reminds you constantly of those fundamentals of Judaism. Happens to be a mezuzah is a similar concept as well. Every time you walk in your house, you look at the mezuzah, you're just remember what it says inside the mezuzah. We have many things which are supposed to remind us of God. And the Sefer HaChinuch, he actually points out that we need constant reminders to keep ourselves in check. You know, we're human beings. The world out there is not always so favorable to being good Jews and honest people and, you know, and serving God in the right way. So we have to have guards constantly to keep us in line. So those guards are many things. A mezuzah, tefillin, tzitzis, the guards could be, the things we do throughout the day. Even having to make a blessing on our food focuses, again, this is from God. God's around. Yeah.
So why don't women wear it? If it's for that reason, then, you know, as a constant reminder, then women could also sometimes need that constant reminder.
Right. It's a good question. I don't have a good answer to it. I mean, the bottom line is anything which is positive and time-bound, women are exempt from. This falls in that category. Why each specific one women don't need... No, I don't know what it is. I'm not sure. But, yeah, something to say? Art?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah, fine. I mean, that's the simple answer is it's positive and time bound. Therefore, women need their time. is how we look at it. But that's the simple understanding of tefillin. It's a constant reminder for us of these fundamentals of faith. God wants to assist us, and it's actually something God's doing for us. God says, "I want to give you these guards to keep you in line because I want you to do the right thing." So God gives us mitzvahs that act as reminders and act as guards constantly so that we do the right things. That's what they're there for. And tefillin is very intense in that sense, in that we mentioned before, you have to stay focused on your tefillin. It's something which you're supposed to be thinking about constantly as you wear it. And the Talmud says that as you wear it, you're supposed to be touching it constantly to make sure that you recognize that it's there in the right place, you know, and you don't forget it's on your head and start doing things you shouldn't be doing in tefillin. And it's actually a very fascinating way that it understands that point. We know that the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, he used to wear 8 special garments. And one of his special garments he wore was the tzitz. That was his golden head plate he would wear. And carved onto the tzitz was the words, Kodesh Lashem, holy to God. And we know, you can imagine, if you're the Kohen Gadol and you're wearing these special garments, and you're wearing this head plate that says holy to God, you're going to be very focused on that head plate. You have God's name, you know, etched into the head plate. You're walking around representing the entire Jewish people as the Kohen Gadol. You have to stay focused. The Torah says that the Kohen Gadol, when he's wearing the tzitz, has to be totally focused on that tzitz. So the Talmud says, well, I'll tell you something. Tefillin is actually more sacred than that tzitz, than that head plate. Because the head plate only has God's name in it once. But the tefillin has God's name in those parchments, you know, several times. So if the head plate of the Kohen Gadol is so holy because God's name is etched inside that head plate, then tefillin could be many times holier because God's name is in tefillin many times more. That's what the Talmud says. So just like you can imagine how the Kohen has to remain focused on his head plate and on his dress and what he's doing, so certainly when one wears tefillin, he should be focused on the tefillin and what it stands for. That's the idea of focusing on the tefillin. And just to have the thought that I'm wearing a sacred item on my body, it's a very humbling and empowering thought. You know, it should make an impression on a person. You know, there's somebody who lives near me. You know, I live like a little bit of a walk from the shul in Kent Mill. So there's one like minyan made in a house nearby. Some people will daven that, you know, on a Friday night or something or Shabbos afternoon because they don't want to walk all the way to the shul. So somebody had a Torah scroll that they had for this minyan that they would keep in their house for Shabbos mincha, for the afternoon of Shabbos. So initially it was in one person's house and then the minyan moved to a different person's house. But this guy, whose house it moved to, said, I don't want the Sefer Torah in my house. He said, I'm too scared, because having a Torah scroll in your house, that gives you a lot of responsibility. You know, and you have to watch every word you say, every move you make, because you're standing there in front of the Torah scroll. You know? And he has a point. And really, we should think that way all the time. Because God's always with us in our house also. But certainly when you're wearing tefillin, so that's having a Torah scroll in your house, but tefillin on your body is even closer. You're wearing it on your arm and on your head. So certainly you have to be aware of what you're doing and be focused on it. So that's the idea of tefillin as a remembrance. Now there's another point about tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin, as the Torah says, is to ukshartam, is to bind it or tie it to your body. It's the mitzvah of tying. So I always like to understand that there's two different emotions when you tie the tefillin to your body. And actually can relate to what we said last week. In the last week we discussed the transition between being slaves to Pharaoh and slaves to God. And we said being a slave to Pharaoh was you're doing it because you were forced, because you were terrified that he might come and kill you or torture you if you didn't do the work. When you're a slave to God, you do it out of love, that you want to please God and do his will, therefore that's why you serve God. That was what we mentioned last week. I think tefillin contains within it both of those emotions. The idea of I'm subjugated to God as a servant, and the idea that I love God, I want to please him. Why is that? Because if you just take the imagery of tying something upon yourself, binding yourself, it's tefillin. So on the one hand, you can look at it as it were, like handcuffs or chains. That I'm taking ropes and I'm binding my body to it, symbolizing that I am a servant to God. I'm roped to God, I'm chained to God, I'm bound to God, and I have to do his will no matter what. That's one symbolism within the tefillin. But it's very interesting as well. You know, the custom is, as one wraps the tefillin around their hand, so there's a line which is said. It's actually a verse quoted, I think, from... Let's find it here. The verse is from the book of Hosea. And it says, "V'erastich li le'olam, you shall be married to me forever. You shall be married to me with righteousness and judgment and with kindness and with mercy. You shall be married to me with faith, and you shall know God." So there's also a feeling of marriage. Like there's a bond of love between ourselves and God. And you can kind of picture putting this feeling on your arm like you're being, it's like a hug from God, or it's like the ring on your finger from God, something along those lines. That's how you picture when you put it on your fingers. But that's exactly the line which we say as we put our tefillin on our fingers. We say that you shall be married to me forever. And this is a line speaking about the Jewish people and God. That's what it's speaking about. So the other emotion in tefillin is that, number one, I'm binding myself with like handcuffs to be God's servant. But I'm also receiving a hug from God and a wedding ring from God as I put my tefillin on. And those are two emotions which we have to have in serving God. Like I mentioned last week, there has to be that commitment that I am going to do God's will no matter what, because I'm God's servant. And there has to be that feeling of love, that you know, I love God, God loves me. Every morning he gives me a hug. When I put my tefillin on, I'm getting a hug from God. And that's the other way we can view it. So that's another idea which lies behind tefillin. And I want to take it, I guess, one more level, a little bit deeper, about the symbolism of tefillin. Tefillin, essentially, it corresponds to 3 points in the body. Because you're supposed to put it on your arm. It's the halacha is you should have the box angled towards your heart, next to your heart. And you should put it on your head. So you have your arm, your heart, and your head all participating in the mitzvah of tefillin. So what it represents is there are 3 parts of a person. You know, we have our intellect, we have our emotions, and we have our actions. And that's the head is the intellect, obviously, and the heart represents emotions always, both in Jewish thought and in modern thought, look at heart as emotions. And the arm is actions. The arm is where I do. That's my arm is actions. And we talk about tefillin as being the item which is supposed to be my commitment to God, my understanding of God, my love for God. So it has to come to us in all 3 areas. Number one, we want our minds to understand what the tefillin say. You want your mind to understand the fundamentals of Judaism found in the tefillin. That's our responsibility. That's number one. We want our emotions to feel them. We don't want to just be, you know, dry, robotic people who have intellectual ideas but don't actually feel them. We want to feel the emotion which comes from it. We want to feel the love and the fear and the feelings of inspiration you get as you understand more about God. And then we want to act upon them in our lives. We want to make sure that our arms are also doing God's will. So you have it on your head so you understand it. You have it next to your heart so you feel it. And you have it on your arms so that you do it. And those are our 3 different spheres in which we're going to try to apply what tefillin stand for. And it's something which, you know, it comes up very often in Jewish thought, which is that all these 3 areas always need to be on our minds. I mean, obviously, we want the action we look at as primary in Judaism. You know, you have to bring the actions you have to do no matter what. But you always want to be able to draw in your mind and your emotion. Because the Torah study itself is to bring in the intellect. And the entire participation as a Jew is supposed to bring out the emotions. That's supposed to be our goal as Jews, that the emotions of Torah should come out within us. So we want to make sure that our mind, our head, our hearts, and our arms are all involved in the service of God, which is represented through the tefillin. The halacha is that one should put on the arm tefillin before the head tefillin. And it's based on the verse. The verse says you should tie it as a sign upon your arm and bind it as a sign on your head. So it goes the arm, then the head. And that's the practice that men put on their arm tefillin first, then their head tefillin. So what does that represent? And what's the symbolism of the arm, then the head? So we take what we just said before. The arm tefillin represents the action. And the head tefillin is the understanding. So this actually is reminiscent of the famous lines we find that the Jews said in Mount Sinai. Naseh v'nishma. We will do and we will understand. Right? Shavuos is around the corner. And this is one of the big refrains around Shavuos time. Many people point out, many people discuss, especially around Shavuos time, that this great line the Jews said at Mount Sinai, Naseh v'nishma, we will do, and we will listen. Representing it simply that in Judaism, we want to make sure that our actions come before understanding. We have such a trust in God. We say, God will do whatever you tell us, even if we don't understand it yet. Eventually we'll get to understanding. We look at, as we said before, we look at actions as primary. You know, we don't look at, many religions view the emotion as primary, or the belief as primary. Judaism views the action as primary. And as long as we're doing the actions, we're in good shape, and we hope eventually to understand them as well. That's always our goal. So when you put in your tefillin, you do the arm and the head, because you want to make sure that the action comes before the mind. So you do nasa, you do what we will act, and put it on your arm, and then you put it on your head to say, and we'll also understand. And that's that order. But there's actually another interesting halacha. The halacha is that one is not supposed to interrupt between putting on the arm tefillin and the head tefillin. For instance, let's say a man wants to put on the arm tefillin. He wants to then say hi to someone who walked into shul, then put on his head tefillin. He shouldn't do that. He's supposed to be sure that he doesn't interrupt between the two. He should put on his arm, then his head tefillin. And interrupting between the two is actually considered a sin. Just as this is an interesting point. When the Jewish army used to go out to war, so the Torah records that have a Kohen get up to the army and give them a speech before they went to war. And he would kind of sort out who's ready to fight, who's not ready to fight. He would send people home. And he would say, if you, there's certain halachas who gets to go home. If you just got married, you can go home. If you just built a new house, you can go home. Just planted a vineyard, you can go home. And then he would say, those who are fearful can go home as well. And the sages say that means you're fearful of your sins. That you're concerned that because you've done certain sins, God won't protect you at war. And the Talmud goes ahead and says, even if you're somebody who interrupted between your arm tefillin and your head tefillin, you should also go home from war. I mean, that was considered a sin which was serious enough that you should not go out to war to fight as a soldier because God may not protect you because of your sins. That's how far it goes. So we find that you're supposed to, number one, put your arm on before your head tefillin, but yet you're supposed to be sure not to interrupt between the two. They should be done together. So what's that symbolism? So I think it's the following. It's that certainly action comes before thought in Judaism. That's for sure. But we have to be sure, ultimately the ideal is that we should act with understanding. I mean, it's not ideal to act your whole life, mindlessly. It's okay. I mean, God rewards people for doing the right thing, whether they understand it or not. But if you want to be the ideal Jew, you want to make sure that you act with understanding. So if you separate between the two, that's essentially saying that action can stand alone and thought can stand alone. And ideally, we don't believe in either of those things standing alone. I mean, ideally, we should understand what we're doing. And ideally, we should act upon understanding. I mean, if I know what's right and don't do it, that's a terrible thing. And if I'm acting and I don't understand it, that's also not an ideal thing. So I want to make sure the two things go together. So I want to make sure that my head to fill, my arms fill, and don't have any interruption. They're seamlessly combined so that every action I do is both, I act based on understanding and I understand what I'm doing. And that's that symbolism. Now, we also mentioned how the arm tefillin is one compartment, and the head tefillin is four compartments. Which is interesting. Like, why should that be? Like, why are they so different? I can assume for those who manufacture tefillin, it's probably challenging to make the head tefillin, because you have these four, I don't know how to do it, but you have these four narrow compartments. It's made of one piece of leather. It can't be sewn in. It has to be one solid piece of leather, which was shaped into those compartments. I assume it's a challenging skill to be able to do that. So why do you have to have four compartments in your head tefillin? So one symbolism of this is the following. The arm tefillin, we said, is the action. The head tefillin is the thought. So when we're thinking, when we go through a thought process, we actually are able to separate and categorize the fine things, you know, based on individual thoughts. Let's give an example. Let's say somebody asked me for help. So like, I think in my mind, okay, well, why should I help this person? Number one, this person, you know, they really need help. They're really suffering. And I pity the person. I feel bad for them. And number two, this person once helped me out as well, and I kind of, I'm indebted to the person. You could say number three, you know, if I was him, I'd also want the help as well, and, you know, I should act on, you know, what I would like to be done to myself. You could say, oh, this person is my cousin, and I should help family out. You should say this person wants, you know, help get my brother a job. I mean, you could come up with a lot of reasons why to help the person, all separate reasons. Now, when it comes down to the action, and you do it, all those things come together as one in the action. So when you're acting, it's not, you don't look at, it's not four different acts, it's one act. So when it comes to the mind, we can look at everything individually. We can say, okay, you know, God is great, he took us out of Egypt, and we should fear God, and we should love God, and he gave us the land of Israel, and he gives us food. We can think about all these reasons why we should serve God. When it comes down to the action, and we do it, they all combine together in the action. That's how we view it. So the arms filling is that one compartment, because all the ideas combine together when it comes time to act. But when you're in the world of thoughts, everything can be separated and analyzed individually. But when it comes to action, it's all one. I mean, take another example. Let's say there is an army out at war. So it's up to the commanders, the officers, to create a plan as to how to attack or how to defend. And there can be 19 different calculations made and reasons why they might do this or do that, the other thing. But eventually, when they give the orders to the soldiers, it's a combination of all those things they thought about. You know, those 19 things they had in their head combine into one plan. So it's the same thing. You know, we have all these things in our head, which are all individual, the four compartments that fill in. But when it comes time to act, it's all in, it all comes together in the action. That's how we have to view it. There's also another concept, which is that you're supposed to have your head's filling exposed and your arms filling covered. And it says that... It says, I can't remember, this is based on a verse. The verse says that the tefillin on your arms should be for you, but the tefillin on your head shall be for all. Something along those lines. I can't remember the exact wording. But there's an idea of the tefillin on the head being exposed, the tefillin on the arm being covered. So if you're wearing like a shirt, put your sleeve over your tefillin on your arm, there's an idea of keeping it covered and the one on the head being exposed. So why is that? Now, why should the head one be exposed and the arm one be covered? So I would say it's the following reason. As we keep saying, the arm represents action, the head is understanding. So when it comes to what are my ideals, what do I understand, what do I actually stand for in the world, I should make that known to people. I want people to understand what I believe in. You know, I'm a proud Jew, I'm a believing Jew, and I want that to, people should understand what I think. When it comes down to my actions, I don't want to boast about my actions. I don't want to say, I'm so great, look at me, I do all the right things, I'm perfect. I should have a little bit of humility and modesty. So the arm tefillin remains covered, that represents modesty. That I should be modest in my actions. I don't have to tell everybody everything I do. You know, I can act modestly and privately, do the right things myself. I don't have to let everyone know about it. When it comes to what I believe in, so it's important to explain to others, I'm a believing Jew, I'm a proud Jew, this is what I believe, this is what I do. You know, it's important that my ideas should be known, and people should understand what I stand for and what I am. So that's why one reason to be exposed in the head tefillin and hide the arm tefillin. That's one concept you have there. In terms of the head tefillin being exposed, there's another interesting verse. It says that all of the nations of the world shall see that the name of God is called out upon you and fear you. And the sages teach us that verse refers to the head tefillin. That when the nations of the world see our head tefillin, that should create that kind of a reverence or an awe of God for seeing a Jew wearing head tefillin. So, it was once said that, obviously we mean the Jew who's wearing the head tefillin properly, meaning that he has his mind focused and he's letting the messages, you know, impact him. But a Jew who wears the head tefillin properly, it should be awe-inspiring to others around who see it. It should evoke the awe of God in those who see this person. The head tefillin are referred to as a crown on a person. In the morning blessings, so we say the blessing, Oter Yisrael b'sifara, that God crowns the Jewish people with splendor. He crowns them with splendor. And the custom is, when you say those words, to touch your tefillin. Because look at the tefillin as a crown upon a Jew. And we should wear tefillin proudly that, you know, we are God's people. You know, it's a royal crown, and we should be proud of it. We should be proud of our purpose in this world, proud of our ideals, proud of the fact that we serve God. And every day, God lets us wear his royal crown, essentially, when wearing tefillin. That's how we view this tefillin, as a royal crown. So, Oter Yisrael B'Sifaro, the idea that God crowns us in splendor, that's a reference to the tefillin, which are viewed as a crown upon a person that we should be proud of. So one other point I want to make is that sometimes if you look at your siddur, there's a lot of things that we skip. But very often the small print is very meaningful. So we don't waste the time to look at the small print. But when putting on tefillin, before you make the blessing on the tefillin, there's a paragraph usually printed in small print. And that paragraph is supposed to describe to us what are the thoughts to have as we wear our tefillin. What are the thoughts one should have when wearing tefillin? So it happens to be the Torah stresses more so than many other mitzvahs that when you have tefillin on, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know what it means. So what does this paragraph say? So the paragraph says that I'm preparing myself to put on tefillin, to do the command of God that commanded us to put on tefillin, etc. And it mentions the paragraphs that are in the tefillin. And then it says some of the fundamentals you find in these paragraphs. In these paragraphs you find Yichudo, Vachduso, God's unity, God's oneness in this world. And they should teach us to remember the miracles and wonders that God did in Egypt. And should make us know that God has the power and the control over the upper worlds and the lower worlds to do His will. So those are all fundamentals of Judaism that are found in tefillin. It then says He commanded us to put tefillin on our arm to remember God's outstretched arm that He used in Mitzrayim and Egypt, and they are next to our hearts in order so that we should bind and submit our heart's desires and the thoughts of our heart to serve God. So as we mentioned, the tefillin are supposed to be a reminder that all parts of us should be submitted to God. So we actually mentioned in this prayer that the tefillin should help us in that we should commit ourselves and be sure that all of our desires are submitted to God. And then it says that the tefillin go on our head next to our brains, that the soul which resides in our brains with all of our other senses and abilities should all be submitted to God. So again, this idea of submission, as we mentioned, that the tefillin are kind of like those chains binding us to God, are all pointed out in this paragraph. And then it says that through the great blessing of the mitzvah of tefillin, God should inspire upon us or place upon us long lives, holy inspiration, holy thoughts, with no thoughts of sin at all. And we should not at all be enticed by the Yetzer Hara, by the inclination towards evil. And it should leave us to serve God as we please, with all of our hearts. So now it comes out in the paragraph the desire that I have. I'm not just doing God's will, I have a desire to serve God, as I mentioned before. And we pray that tefillin should be for us, as we chain ourselves to God, we should undo the chains of the Yetzer Hara, of the evil inclination. And we should make sure that we're chained to doing the right thing and not bound by the wrong thing. And then we say, maybe your will before you, God, that the mitzvah of putting on tefillin should be viewed as if I did it 100% properly, with all of its details, and all of the 613 mitzvot that are dependent upon tefillin, amen selah. So that's the end of the paragraph. But you see, this paragraph kind of encapsulates everything we just said, more or less. You know, it's all here in this one little paragraph in the siddur, prior to putting on tefillin. So I personally try to say this. You know, sometimes it's long and you don't have time, etc. But it's a beautiful paragraph. But everything we discussed, all these fundamentals you find in tefillin, are found in that paragraph. So for those who do put on tefillin, for males, that we can apply to put on tefillin. And for women who don't put tefillin on, but still, the ideas are applicable to all. The idea of binding all of ourselves to God, experiencing a hug from God, the mind, the heart, the limbs, all of that can come together in anybody's life. Yeah.
Is there any way we can find that paragraph someplace? Is there a particular...
Any sitter should have it in the very beginning. If you look in the beginning of the sitter, when it talks about putting tefillin on, it's right there before the blessing of the tefillin. Any typical sitter will have it, to my knowledge. It's going to be in the first few pages of the sitter. Okay. If you flip to the page that has the blessings of putting tefillin on, it'll be right there, okay. Typically. So that's there. Yeah, so that, I mean, this also, Moda Ani is first, blessing and washing the hands. This is, in this sitter, it's on page 7. But, saying it'll be in the first few pages of most Siddurim. Yeah,
you find it.
Yeah, right. So it would be with the, if you have it, it would be with those blessings in the paragraph, in the Siddur, the film blessings. So that's, you know, some of the ideas of tefillin. I mean, tefillin are considered one of the most significant mitzvahs, and there is much, much writing about tefillin, many, many ideas which we didn't touch upon right now. It's considered really one of the basic mitzvahs for a Jewish man, grouped along with, you know, eating kosher, keeping Shabbos, putting tefillin. These are all considered really fundamental mitzvahs. And you know, we should be able to look at the message of tefillin and be able to apply it in our daily lives. Tefillin is a daily mitzvah, which means that it's something which is relevant to us on a daily basis. Any questions?